First of all, tonight's shiur is sponsored in memory of Bracha Golda Bas Shlomo HaKohen. And the Divrei Torah should be in the schus of Bracha Golda Bas Shlomo HaKohen and Elias HaMeshama, etc. We began last week discussing some of the details of B'fanai Nechtav, some of the details of that. And without going over everything, so that we can go on, let me just make a bit of a quick summary. We encountered several major bachloksim in the Gemara, and a couple of interesting phenomena that we were trying to evaluate. On Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara analyzes Dalet Amud Aleph and Dalet Amud Beis, two machloksim in the Mishnah. One machlokus in the Mishnah turns out to be about the status of what we call muvlaos and smuchos. Smuchos are the lands, the boundary, location that is just a little bit over the boundary, but it is still very proximate, very close to Eretz Yisrael. That's smuchos. Muvlaos means that it is within the, you know, general borders. It's like absorbed, you know, from many sides by Eretz Yisrael, but technically, because it's a jagged border, it's technically outside of the Tchum of Eretz Yisrael. Somebody just mentioned to me now that that's why we did a pentagon tonight, because last week we mentioned that usually we look at imaginary border lines as rectangular. So that tonight's pentagon is to establish that, you know, that might be arbitrary, as you can understand. Okay. So the point is there can be... Exactly. So that's what muvlos really is all about. Anyway, so the Gemara has the Mishnah debates smuchos and muvlos. Originally the Gemara thought that this parallels the debate between Rabbah and Rabbah, where the problem of Lishma is a problem of, where the problem of Fon Nechtam is a problem of Lishma, or Mitzuyin the Kaimo. Gemara says that can't be, because Amoraim don't argue about things that Tanaim have already debated. So then the Gemara says, ultimately, that the argument is whether or not the substance dictates completely, and when it comes to Smuchos, and certainly Muvlos, there really is no substantive reason to have the Takana B'fanai Nechtam. After all, it's just a skip and a hop over the border. So Lishma, which is a educational, cultural thing, certainly shouldn't be a problem. And even if you want to focus on Mitzuyin Lekaimo, no, that's not likely to be a very serious problem if somebody's just living, you know, right over the border. So the question is, do we say Shalo Tachlok in Medina Sayal? Do you say a kind of low plug and say, listen, Chutzlarts is Chutzlarts, we're not going to start differentiating between just over the border and significantly over the border. So that's one debate. Then the Gemara goes on to examine another line in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah seems to say that there's a requirement of Fanayakta, not only when you bring a get mi Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael, but even in the other direction, from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Sayyam. Again, the Gemara thinks maybe this is the argument of Lishma versus Mitzuyin Lekaimo, because Lishma, we should certainly distinguish between one direction and the other, because anything that originates in Eretz Yisrael, is written in Eretz Yisrael, has the advantage of Lishma. But if you're talking about Mitzuyin Lekaimo, that's bi-directional by definition. Again, the Gemara says that's not satisfying. It doesn't make sense that this Machlokas Amoraim is the debate of the Tanaim. So again, the Gemara concludes that the issue is whether we're gozer, molich, atu, maybe. In other words, even if you say the reasoning is Lishma, and Lishma doesn't apply to molich, to a get written in Eretz Yisrael, exported from Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless, maybe you should worry about a different kind of low plug. Molech atu maybe. That's the second argument. That was the second argument. Then we encountered a discussion on Dalet Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, is there really any need to tell you that in Eretz Yisrael there's no requirement of B'fanai Nechtam, according to a certain reading of, or certain diuk in the Mishnah? It sounds like we're emphasizing that. We know that halacha. The Mishnah says, I may be get, mi medinas hayam. So obviously, any time you bring a get, or any time you have a get within Eretz Yisrael, there's no requirement of B'fanai Nechtam. So the Gemara says, yes, true. However, one might have thought that that din, that there's no B'fanai Nechtam in Eretz Yisrael, is only b'di'evet. But l'chatchila, there is a requirement of B'fanai Nechtam even a get in Eretz Yisrael. That's the line of the Gemara here on Dalid Amud Beis. Hava min hanimila di'eved, towards the middle of the page, on Dalid Amud Beis, Hava l'chadkila lo, kal mashmalon. So that's a line in the Gemara. Per se, there's nothing difficult about that. There's a difficulty in the Rashi. Rashi said two interesting things. Rashi di b'maskal hava min hanimila b'di'eved, the first, the beginning of the narrow lines in Rashi. Rashi says the imaisim mevedin lemedin beretz yisrael lenichtav lefanav ein tzarich lipasol shlichuso al kach. So the two elements in Rashi that I thought were interesting was, number one, how he interprets what the lechatchila and b'di'eved would have been. Because if you read the Gemara, I think anybody just reading the Gemara would think that the lechatchila and b'di'eved refers to articulating b'fanenechtam. In other words, in Medina Sayam, articulating b'fanenechtam is ma'akev. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not, but one by default, that's only b'di'eved, meaning if you don't articulate it, so the get is still chal, and she can still remarry nonetheless. Right? However, l'chatchila, there's a requirement to pronounce the words b'fanenechtam even in Eretz Yisrael. That would be the simple reading of the Gemara. If there were no other issues to contend with, that's what we find in Medina Sayam, and that's the l'chatchila, and not b'di'eved in Eretz Yisrael. For some reason, Rashi thinks that the l'chatchila, the b'di'eved, refers to lo nichtav l'fanav, rather than lo amar l'fanay nechtav l'fanay nechtav. And the question is, number one, why? And number two, forget the why, what is the significance per se of nichtav l'fanav if he's not going to report it? And why nichtav is emphasized in this case rather than nechtav? So while people do not zero in on this Rashi, as far as I know, very much, maybe somebody does, but certainly not the major classical Mefarshim, it seems to me like it's a very challenging Rashi. Even more challenging and even more perplexing that didn't catch the attention of the Mefarshim is the last few words of Rashi. Ein tzarech litzol shlichuso al kach. That doesn't seem like an accurate description of it not being b'di'eved. Right, the problem, let's say it would be ma'akev b'di'eved. For example, in Medina Sayam, it's ma'akev b'di'eved. So what do we say when we say that it's ma'akev b'di'eved? That it's nitzal shlichus avakach. We just say, the get is possible, or you can't operate with this get. We don't mention anything about the shlichus. Why the emphasis on shlichus? So that is a serious issue, I think a serious problem. These two Rashis cry out for some sort of explanation. So again, we have a Molechatu Mevi argument, we have a Shalotachal Gumdina Sayam argument, and now we have two strange points in Rashi. In addition to that, there was one other point that I was trying to make towards the end, and I want to pick up with that right now. The Gemara goes on to ask all sorts of questions, for Rabba, and then the Gemara has an interesting conclusion. The Gemara says, let's just look at this line here on Dalet Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the page. The Gemara says, Tznan. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, this is 3, 6, 9, 11. 11 lines up from the bottom of the page. The Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah, it's not. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, afilo mehegmonia lehegmonia. What does it mean, afilo mehegmonia lehegmonia? Even in Eretz Yisrael, from one authority or jurisdiction, right, to another, there would be a requirement of b'fanay nechtav, b'fanay nechtav. And he reports there was a certain town in Eretz Yisrael, or a city in Eretz Yisrael, Asasios Shimal. There were two jurisdictions there, and it wasn't like there was free passage, you know, one from the other. They were serious about being, you know, two different governmental authorities. Lepikach, Hutzuku Lomar, therefore they required to say, "Fanachmaninachdav mehegmonia lehegmonia." So the Gemara says, "L'Rava nicha, l'Rava kasha." According to Rava, who says that the problem of fanachmaninachdav is mitzuyin lekaimo, since we're talking about the same town, right? But we're talking about different jurisdictions. That usually means borders. You know, borders means border guards or fences. So mitzuyin lekaimo is a problem, but according to Rabbah, right? L'Rabbah, kasha. If the problem is l'shma, presumably one hegemonia to the other hegemonia, there's no differentiation regarding, no discrepancy regarding Lishma. So here's how the Gemara comes up with its, its Kiddush. And this is a Kiddush that spans, the entire daf, or daf and a half, or two dafim, really. For the first time, the Gemara says, Rabba Islay de Rabba. And really, the argument between Rabba and Rabba is only in one direction. Rabba rejects Rabba. Rabba is not worried about Lishma. But Rabba does not reject Rabba. He, too, is worried about Mitzui and Lekaimo. So if you either have a Lishma problem or a Mitzui and Lekaimo problem, either one is reason for defining Dr. Paninaktam, and that's what solves the hegemonia problem. No longer a difficulty to explain hegemonia. Okay. So the Gemara says, Elamai binai, then what is enough Kamina? Now why does the Gemara say that? Because originally, on Daf Beis on the base, the Gemara said, what is the difference between Rabba and Rabba? Because there they thought that the positions were mutually exclusive. So they were more nafkamina. Now, they found out that it's only in one direction. So they're less nafkamina. So that's why the Gemara reiterates what the nafkamina, what the standing nafkamina are. Ikki binai with asu beitre. Let's say you have two shlichim, and they're bringing the get, that's going to be one nafkamina, because the two shlichim can serve the function of kiyum, of edim mitzuyim lekaimo, but they're not going to help you if you have a serious lishma problem, so that's going to be a nafkamina between Rabba and Rabba. Inami ba'osu b'nina b'medina sayam. Or, within the same area, jurisdiction, so if it's a medina sayam, you still have a lishma problem, so it's not going to help you for Rabba, but you're still going to need panin achtav. But for Rabba, you're not going to have a problem because the Tzui and the Kaimo is not going to be an issue within the same country. So basically, the Nafkamina are now all cases where you have a Lishma problem, but you don't have a Mitzui and the Kaimo problem, because anytime you have a Mitzui and the Kaimo problem, even Rabba is going to agree that you need to find it after Fanadach. That's the Gemara. Now, in light of this, Tosus has an interesting Ha'ara. Tosus says as follows. Rabba Islay de Rabba. See the second to last Tosus on the bottom? Well, small Tosus, not the smallest, but it's the Tosus after the smallest. Rabba Islay de Rabba, Bim Tomar. Amay Tzorech le Rabba b'fanei nechtav mehegmonia lehegmonia. Bar Rabba lo chayish lechufei kivin de adanu lo mahani. What does that mean? What is Tosus asking? Tosus is asking, according to Rabba, we just discovered that Rabba really agrees with Rabba. Right? But according to Rabba, mehegmonia lehegmonia, we now understand why you have the problem of Edom and Tzulim Lekaimo, and therefore why you have to address that problem. I'm trying to say this without giving away the secret. But, does that mean that you have to declare b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam? Well, how else would you solve the problem? Tosus is asking, maybe all you have to say is b'fanai nechtam, but not b'fanai nechtav. Why? So this goes back to the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's look at that again for 1 minute. And I'd like to suggest an appreciation of what this Gemara is really about in light of what we're talking about now. If you look at the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph for a minute, the Gemara says, "Rabba my tamale omekarav." Again, the Gemara introduced Rabba and Rabba on base and base. It analyzed it a little further on Gimel Amud Aleph. And towards the bottom of the page, two thirds or three quarters of the way down, 13 or so lines from the bottom of the page, the Gemara finally said, "Listen, you have this debate between Rabba and Rabba." Then they thought it was mutually exclusive. How come each one rejects the other's position? What's wrong with each position? So, v'rabba, maitama lo amar ki rabba. What flaw does Rabba see in Rabba's position? So the Gemara says, amalach, im kain, nisni, b'fanei nechtam, nisulo, b'fanei nechtav, lamali. So this is a great line. Rabba said, listen, if Rabba were right, and the problem was a problem of authenticating the signatures of the contract, so we care about b'fanei nechtav, but why do we care about b'fanei nechtav? What does that have to do with anything? If you hold like me, says Rabba, that the problem is lishma, the ksiva lishma is crucial, you also need ksiva lishma. That's modu rabba lazar ben mezuyaf mitoch. Okay, so you need ksiva and chasima, both lishma. But according to you, Rabba, the problem is ziyuf. Ziyuf has nothing to do with ksiva. Ziyuf has everything and only to do with chasima. So instead of saying b'fanai nechtam, you should be able to get away with saying simply b'fanai nechtam. That's the question. So shema mina be'inya be'inan l'shema. That's the line of the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, "Nu, what will Rava answer to this charge?" Sounds like a pretty good question. But Rava b'dinu d'lisni achi. You're right. Ella, substantively, you should be able to get away with b'fanai nechtam without b'fanai nechtam. Ella d'imkein asi l'chlufe b'kim shtaros d'alma beid echad. What we're worried about is that if we allow you to say b'fanai nechtam alone, that you will confuse the requirements and the standards of what's happening in a get with what's happening or what needs to happen in a regular contract. We're worried about tchiluf, that you'll make a mistake and you'll apply the same din that you'll find in get for shar shtaros. And therefore, they built in b'fanai nechtav in order to preclude the error of associating what happens in get with what happens in shar shtaros. Which is another way of saying, if you read it kipshuto for the moment, that the words b'fanai nechtav for Rabba are basically completely substantively immaterial. They don't accomplish anything. They're there only for what they accomplish in their form, not in their substance. They're there in order to differentiate kiyum shtaros and b'fanai nechtav, so that they'll appear to an outsider, right, even, who doesn't understand what's going on and doesn't understand the different levels of requirement. It'll appear different because the nusach is different. If you only said b'fanai nechtam, it would sound an awful lot like kiyum shtaros, and if it's kiyum shtaros, how can you get away with eid echad? Right? Therefore, we add artificially the word b'fanai nechtam so that this will be a little more exotic, confusing, different, so we won't start asking from one to the other. We're talking about Rava. Rava doesn't care about Lishma. That's exactly the point. That's what Rava said. Rava said, I hold like Lishma. I need b'fanai nechtam. How come you need Lishma, Rava? Right? And Rava's answer is, you're right, I don't. I don't need b'fanai nechtam. I just need b'fanai nechtam in order to differentiate this from Kim Star. It plays no substantive role at all. That seems to be simple reading. It's there for the artificial benefit of not confusing people. It's to confuse you so that you won't confuse. In a way, it's an amazing thing. Now, when you think about it, let's say something about takanos and xeros, because, as I've said, you know, they sometimes get short shrift in our day, and a little bit of too much irreverence, I think. This is classic. I mean, we've mentioned a few times. Almost begins with the funny nachta, funny nachtam, adindra banan. It's really tamua why that is. The whole first parak and beginning of the second parak spent so much time on funny nachta, funny nachtam. It's a fascinating takana, but the point is that takanas are critical in Jewish life, and I've tried to explain that this particular takana is very ambitious in balancing the opposite pressures, or the pressures and counter-pressures together that you encounter in this kind of issue. On the one hand, high standards for gittin. On the other hand, sufficient flexibility so that the woman isn't held hostage by these standards. You want to make sure that the get is a real get, because there's a lot at stake here in terms of Yisra Eshashish and Mamzerus, etc. So you want to go the extra mile in being really rigorous in the standards, and at the same time, Mishumaguna Kilabrabana. So we're Choshesh to begin with, because of, in principle, there shouldn't really be a Kashash Lishma. In principle, there shouldn't be a Kashash Ziyu. We bend over backward to worry about these things to safeguard the Shtar, the Get. On the other hand, Mishumaguna Kilu, we allow for an Eidecha. But at the same time, there's another element, and that is, okay, so you've built this perfectly calibrated, balanced Takana, for the sake of Ishus. And it's magnificent. But can you close your eyes? Can you ignore the potential impact on Choshen Mishpat? Meaning, even if you can calibrate perfectly what you need for Evan Ezer, but what is the Choshen Mishpat fallout of this Takana? That too is something that every Gzeira has to consider. That's shelo tachlof bekim staros deboi bekim staros beid echad. What's that? Meaning, we're worried that find what you've constructed is balanced for the needs of a get, but it's going to undermine the requirement of two edim for kiyum shtaros and choshen mishpat. So that's why you have to add another, you have to inject another dimension, shelo tachlof bekiyum shtaros bi'alma beid echad, by saying the words, which otherwise would be completely meaningless, b'fanei nechtav. So now it's b'fanei nechtav, along with b'fanei nechtam, so that not only will you balance Isha's concerns, but you will also safeguard kosher mishpat. Wow, look how much thought goes into a gzeira, takana, drabana. Yeah.
But this A would be in front of Bezdin, no? I mean, it's the only place this would happen. So are you saying that if one A came down because of the concern that this...
Well, we don't know if it has to be in front of Bezdin, exactly. We'll talk about it. I mean, the Gemara in Hamad Beis discusses whether you need two... It's in front of two people or three people. And they suggest that it might depend on whether it's Lashma or it's in between the Kaiba. But if it's between the Kaiba, it is three.
Right. So if it's in front of Bezdin, I mean, they'll at least know that this is only a rule.
Or it's three people serving as a Bezdin. Right. Whether they're really a Bezdin, they're not.
He only comes and he says, I only saw the sign. You're going to make a woman not get married? Because of
this problem.
Yes.
Well, that's the Mishnah on Tezvav and Aleph, which says very, very clearly. Look at it for a moment, because I want to get there in a minute anyway. Not by having gone all the way through, you know, from Dalet on Beis to Tezvav and Aleph, but with a little bit of a leap, I guess, but not such a leap in another sense. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah, to say this funny nachtav discussion continues. It's not there's a little bit of a break. I mean, I don't want to mislead either. But okay, beginning the second parak, maybe get medina sayam. Right, person brings a get from chutz laaretz. The amar b'funny nachtav avlo b'funny nachtav. Let's say he said b'funny nachtav, but the shliach, but he doesn't say b'funny nachtav. Okay, that we understand a little bit. But what about the next case? B'fanai nechtam, avalo b'fanai nechtam. That's your case. The guy says, I was present when the witnesses signed, but I wasn't present when the get was written. B'fanai nechtam, but no b'fanai nechtam. So, again, according to Rava, the only reason that we require is shelo tachlof b'kim shtaros beid echad, right? Listen to this. Or let's say the guy says, b'fanai nechtam kulo, b'fanai nechtam chepzio. Right? I witnessed the entire B'fanei Nechtam, but only half. What does it mean, half of the B'fanei Nechtam? One witness, not the other. We'll get to that in a minute. B'fanei Nechtam Chetzio, B'fanei Nechtam Kulo, or the opposite. I was only there for half part of the Ksiva. I was there for both witnesses. What's the rule? Apostle. That's an amazing Mishnah. After all said and done, it isn't just the Chatchil or whatever. Get his Apostle, Midrabanan. Wow. Okay. Now, what does this have to do with us at the moment? So I'm going to get back to this whole idea. I'm going to suggest a different interpretation in just a second, which I haven't seen, but which is consistent with what I was trying to develop at the end of last week's year. But before we get to that, even let me just explain Tosas here now, back on Dalet Amud Beis. So what does Tosas Dalet Amud Beis ask? He asks the following. This idea of shelo tachlof, which is why you have to say b'fanei nechtav, meaning it doesn't accomplish anything substantive. It's just there so that you have a distinction between shar shtaros and kiyum shtaros bialma and b'fanei nechtav and get. Right? That's according to Rabba. But according to Rabba, why do we have b'fanei nechtav? Because of the Shema. Right? You said it a second ago. Right? Because the ksiv has to be the Shema. Now, once the Gemara Dalet Amud Beis says that Rabba actually agrees with Rabba, so then you can ask the following question. If you eliminate the Lishma problem, and all you're worried about is what? Hedim Mitzvim L'Kaimo. So according to Rabba, all you should have to say is B'fanei Nechtam and not B'fanei Nechtav. You have to say B'fanei Nechtam because you have a Ziyuv problem. But you shouldn't have to say b'fanei nechtav, because according to him, the only reason you say it is because of the Shema. And there's no lishma, for example, instead of being so theoretical, mehegemonia lehegemonia be'eretz Yisrael. Even Rava agrees with Mephaniachtam, why? There's no requirement of lishma, it's eretz Yisrael. Why? Because of Edom Mitzvah Mekaimah. But Tosa says, but if that's the case, one more time, Bim Tomar, Amai Tzorich L'Rabba B'Fonai Nechtav. Meaning, when he said, Tosa says B'Fonai Nechtav, they mean literally, B'Fonai Nechtav, they don't mean B'Fonai Nechtav B'Chulei, B'Fonai Nechtav. They mean the words B'Fonai Nechtav. All you should need to say is, B'Fonai Nechtav, Meheg Gmanya L'Meheg Gmanya. After all, Harabba L'Chayish L'Chlufei, Kivin Yadadu L'Mahani. Okay, now,
what's that mean?
Because the Gemara then goes on and gives him an alt to explain that Rabbah is worried about this kashash, or some people will worry about this kashash, because what happens if you don't say b'fanechta b'fanechtam, you say instead yodanu b'osamha chasimos sheshoploni uploni. Would that also be good in Gittin or not? That's yodanu. Okay, I don't want to get to that at the moment, that's what it's referring to. So the truth is that Rav Moshe of Rav Yosef, the Rebbe of the Baal Amor, quoted in the beginning of the second parak, a very long Baal Amor in the beginning of the second parak. I'm not going to read it. Some you'll see it's just a massive Baal Amor. Very hard to read, I might add. If you look on page Zayin Amud Aleph, I mean worth the effort, but very hard to read. Zayin Amud Aleph in the Daf Yarif, you'll see there's a massive Baal Amor in Ramban. Very, very technical, but. You see it, Zayin Amud Aleph? So here's where he introduces his brother and his Rebbe, Rab Zrachia Halevi, the author of the Baal Amor, had a brother named Rab Brachia. Brachia and Zrachia, Bnei, you know, the lady boys, I always call them. And the Rebbe was Rab Moshe Rab Yosef. So this is all part of the discussion here. If you look at Kolzet Shuvalet, if you look in the Baal Amor, I'm sorry. He starts here, the second paragraph. The Zematzasi Mekzivas HaRav Rav Moshe Rav Yosef. That's his Rebbe. And this is what he's discussing. Then he says, V'shol Mimeni, if you look at it, Kol Zematzasi Beperish Kesivas Yad HaRav Rav Moshe Rav Yosef Zal. This is like 3, 6, 9, 12, about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. And then if you see two dots, B'shol Mimeni Achi Brachia Halevi. Just an issue, I didn't make it up. No. It's just too good to make up. Hod the Kasa of Rav Moshe Rav Yosef, Eini Meibin Tabo. And then he goes on, very, very hard to read, but very important discussion. Anyways, towards the very, very end of the piece, on the next page, we're not going to go into the details right now. So he develops Rav Moshe Rav Yosef, and then he himself says, I disagree. Ulapuke Medaitos Rav Moshe, and he discusses this problem. One of the main points of the argument is this. Rav Moshe Rav Yosef said, it's true. According to Rabbah, if you eliminate the Lishma problem, then you will be required to say B'fanei Nechtam, but not B'fanei Nechtam. The Baal Amor disagrees and says what Tosas says. If you look at Tosas back now to Tosas for a moment, it's easier to read than Tosas. Tosas says a little differently, but not substantially differently. V'yesh lomar d'mitchila lo hayu metakdim b'fanei nechtav mishum echlufei. Aval kivin d'takinu mishum lishma b'medina sayam tiknu shiyom v'chol makom af eretz Yisrael. Basically, what he says is as follows. When the Gemara said, Rabbah, why doesn't he like Rabbah? And his answer is, if it wasn't for the problem of Lishma, there should be no B'fanei Nechtav. And then Rabbah said, what do you mean? We need B'fanei Nechtav, Shelo Tachlov Bekim Sharis Bialma. So Rabbah's answer to that alone is not an excuse, not a good enough justification for B'fanei Nechtav. Especially, remember, B'fanei Nechtav, which is Ma'akeh, as we saw at the beginning of the first mission of the second parak. So the point is that B'fanei Nechtav, right, would not be justified simply Shalotach. And therefore, if not for Lishma, there wouldn't be the Nusach B'fanei Nechtav. But once they were Metake B'fanei Nechtav as a Nusach, because in often the problem of B'fanei Nechtav encompasses both Ziyuf and Lishma, so then they decided to Lo Plug, that should be the Nusach, even when you can eliminate Lishma. That's Tosfos' answer, that's the Baal HaMor's view. But Moshe Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not true. In Achanami, anytime you neutralize Lishma, all you need is Bafanai Nechtam, not Bafanai Nechtam. The Ramban takes the opposite extreme view. Ramban and the Chidushim here, on Dalet Beis and Hayyam and Aleph, and in that very long piece in Mechamos, says, only in the Havamin of the Gemara, when the Gemara thought that Rabbah rejects Rabbah and thinks that there's no foundation of Mitzui L'Kaimo, then and only then does Rabbah think that there's no concept of Cholot Achlov Bikim Shtaros B'Alma. But once the Gemara here, on Dalet Beis, right, discovers that Rabbah really agrees with Rabbah, you now have to go all the way back, all the other Gemaras, and reevaluate some of the conclusions of those Gemaras, which were based on the assumption that Rabbah and Rabbah were mutually exclusive. And one of the assumptions that you have to reject, or one of the Shaklavatarias that you have to now reevaluate, is that Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara said, right, why doesn't Rabbah like Rabbah? Because he shouldn't need Bafanai Nechtav. Now that we know that Rabbah does like Rabbah, he just thinks that it's not the whole story. So, Rabbah is also going to be happy with the theme of Shelo Tachlov Bekiyum Shoros B'Alma. So there are three shitos. What happens to Bafanai Nechtav according to Rabbah, L'maskanas HaGemara? Either in Achanami you don't need it at all, that's one extreme, Rav Moshe Rabbi Yosef, or that wouldn't have been a good reason to be mitaken it, that once Lishma justifies the Takana, we lo plug its application, that's Tosfos in the Baal HaMor. And then there's Ramban who says, the whole Shaklavatarya before can be thrown out because, in fact, there's no difference at all between Rabbah and Rabbah. Okay. Let's stop for a moment and think, though.
What does Rav Moshe Rabbi Yosef do when the Gemara says, he just doesn't.
Why is that a problem?
To him, that he doesn't care.
No, no, again, he doesn't care if you've eliminated the problem of Lishma, let's say, hegemonia la hegemonia of Eretz Yisrael.
He's not worried about Mizuyah Mitocha.
So there is no Mizuyah Mitocha because there's no problem of Lishma. Mizuyah Mitocha is only where you have a Lishma problem. Okay, so now let's think about it as follows. Is there another way, or any other way, to explain Shalotach? It seems like a pretty... Getting back to our original problem. Shalotach lo k'medina sayah. Molech atu, maybe. I mentioned, right, Zera like Zera. I mean, how far are we pushing this Zera on an act? And now, Shalotach lo became star. We made up a... It's ma'akev. It's posel, the get, when you say... B'fon enachtam, and not b'fon enachtam. And it turns out the whole thing is just Shalotach lo became star. Bi'alma. What's going on? And then we have the two other anomalies. Namely, Rashi, l'chatchila means he's present at the time of the ksiva, even if he doesn't say it. And b'diavad is a psul l'shlichos. Let me add one more, and then we'll try to wrap it all together. The Gemara in Tezvav Menalot, as I mentioned, the Mishnah talks about, what if you have b'fanai nechtav chetzio and b'fanai nechtam kulo, or b'fanai nechtav kulo and b'fanai nechtam chetzio? I know it's a little... technical, hard to keep in mind, but in other words, let's say the classic case is that the shliach witnesses everything that he needs to witness. B'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. What happens if he only witnesses three quarters of what he's supposed to be seeing? A full nechtav and a half nechtam, a full nechtam and a half nechtam. Fine. So the Mishnah says, in all cases, puzzle, puzzle, puzzle. Now, what is the case of witnessing, of the guy witnessing, full nechtav, but only half nechtav?
1/8.
Do you really need a Mishnah to tell you that if you only witnessed 1/8, that it's possible? As big a chiddush as not witnessing the nechtav being possible is, that's how obvious not witnessing the full nechtav is possible. Because don't you need 2 Adim in the get? If you need 2 Adim again, they both have to be verified, and you only verify one.
Every star, you need 2.
Yeah. So if you need 2 witnesses in any star, and it's called Shekhinah Get, and you only have 1, so obviously it's possible, right? So do we need the Mishnah to tell us that B'fanei Nechtav Kula, B'fanei Nechtam Chetzio is possible? Not really. I mean, it's true, but it's obvious.
Did you learn that the Adim and the Get
within themselves make the Gad Kosher?
What do you mean?
It's a mere fact.
Mina Torah?
Yeah.
But then with Midrabanan. Midrabanan, you require some sort of authentication. And Talmud Dina Sayyam.
This is only Shliach, but why do you say Shliach was some problem? Because only Shliach is bringing the Get. The Get itself is authenticated because the Eidim were on there.
So you're right. That's Reish Lakish. That's why Mina Torah, you don't need any of this. But Midrabanan, we've said that in Shar Shtaros you need Kim Shtaros, and in Gittin you need something, you need to authenticate, you have to worry about the problem of Edim Mitzvim Lekaimo, right? So if you've only taken care of one of the Edim, then you're left on a Drabana level. With the Edim, it's on a Drabana level, like I have no Kiyum. What is having one Kiyum going to help you on a Drabana level? What you're saying is, well, it's alright, so you don't need it anyway. That's what you're saying, right? Because of Reish Lakish. Fine, so then if you don't have both, that would be true too. If you didn't have any B'fonei Nechtam, never mind B'fonei Nechtam Chetzio. Mina Torah should be fine. Midrabanan, you're lacking authentication. Midrabanan. I'm saying it's if you're working, you're worried about Drabanans, then you need both. If you're worried about Doraisa, you don't need either. If you're worried about Drabanans, you need both. Why would you think that having one as opposed to two would be of any benefit? That's the question. Now the truth is that the Gemara doesn't ask the question, but the Gemara addresses the question. So if you look here, the Gemara says the following. Very fascinating, Shaka Vataria, Tetz Bava Manap. Gemara says, Amar of Chizda. The Afilu Shnayim Be'idim Akasim Asiyat Sheni, Pasol. This obviously bothered the Gemara. Like, what does the Mishnah need to tell you that if you don't have two B'fonei Nechtams, then it's Pasol? Obviously you need both. You can't proceed without two witnesses being verified. The answer is, the Mishnah is a case where the second verification comes not through the Shliach, but some other vehicle, some other means. For example, Rav Chisda says, let's say the Shliach says, B'fonai Nechtam Chetzio, one of the witnesses signed in my presence, and then two Edim, Menachutz, two other guys, come forward, not the Shliach, and they say, we recognize Reuven's John Hancock. So now you have one witness who's verified by means of B'fonei Nechtam, and the other is verified by means of classical Kiyum Shtaros. So Rav Chisda says, that's what the Mishnah means, and that's possible. That's no good. That's what Nechtam Chetzio means. Not that the second one remains unverified, but that one is verified by means of Kiyum Shtaros, one is verified by means of B'fonei Nechtam. What's the problem? By Taima, O Kula B'Kiyum Aget, O Kula B'Takanas Chachamim. Apples and oranges. You can't mix and merge. Either you go B'fonei Nechtam route, or the Kiyum Shtaros, Drabanan mechanism is going to be used. You can't do half in one and half in the other. So the Gemara says, Maskit L'Rava, why not? Mi ikin midi the ilo marchad kosher hashad the ikatrei puzzle. What's the problem? If one guy, the shliach, comes to court and he says b'fonei nechtam on two witnesses, on two signatures, we'll believe him. But if two witnesses, edim gemurim, come and they testify about one of the signatures, that'll be worse than if the shliach had testified about that second signature? How can two witnesses be ineffective when one shliach is effective? That's exactly what the Gemara asks.
Does that mean it's put a lie to Edom Musim Mekaimo?
Sorry?
Does that mean it's put a lie to the fact that Edom Musim Mekaimo, if you have two...
Well, maybe not. We're worried about that. No, we're worried about that. That's why up front we require the takana.
Yeah.
We're worried about it. So that's why you need it. I mean, we're worried that if we wait till the Baal is Ma'arer, then you'll never be able to defend the get. So up front, before we allow this get to work, we're demanding some sort of verification. But what we're saying here is, so Lemaisa, if he can come up with verifiers, then that'll be fine. That's what we're saying. Elamar Rava, but the question's still a good question. Namely, isn't the Mishnah too obvious? Right? So that the Amoraim are in agreement with. So they have to come up with their own. Elamar Rava. Afilu hu, ba'acher mi'idim ha'chasam yad sheni, pasol. What happens? He, testifies about one signature, I was there when it happened. And about the other one, it's I wasn't there. It was signed before I came. However, I recognize the signature. Now, that's not the Fanenachtam, so he's not believed B'Torah Shliach as an individual. But let's say he's going to band together, he'll join forces with another fellow, and they'll be the two witnesses on the second signature. Right? So that's what's going on. What's the problem? Puzzle. Why? My time. Also, lechlufe became shtaros the alma, the kanafik nechiriba de mamona apuma de chadsada. The problem is this. Let's say in general, there are two witnesses on a real estate contract, and one of them comes. You need the kiyum shtaros. So one of them comes forward and he says, "It's me, and it's my signature." As for the second guy, right? I, together with another person, can testify that this is his signature. So the rule in Kim Shtaros is that we don't accept that. Why? Because too much on the shoulders of this one individual. He's verifying his own signature, which means he's now 50% responsible for the effectiveness of this contract, and he's also serving together with someone else to verify signature number two. That means that 75% of the verification is rooted in his credibility. And that's too much. That's what the Gemara means. That's what the words here mean. The kanafik nechiriva de mamona, everything but one quarter, meaning 75%, of puma de chadsada. Everything, this one witness is carrying 75% of the proof. Now, the truth is, that isn't really what's happening here, because the Fanei Nechtam is a different din. That's a special din that the Shliach is Neman, right? So he's a so what is he really trying to do again? He's trying to combine half the Fanei Nechtam, half Kiyum Shtaros, but since it looks like, from the Kiyum Shtaros perspective, three quarters of a burden, therefore, that's the view, that's no good. Rava says that's no good. Again, the Gemara asks the question, Maska Plaravashi, Miki Midi Dilu Masik La'iu, Likula Vibure, Kosher. If he had said everything, we believe him. He could carry the whole burden. But Hasha Dika Chad Bahadei, he's sharing the second half of the burden with someone else. He can do 100%, but he can't do 75%. Right? That's the Gemara's question. What does that mean? Ella Amar Vashi, a third possibility. Afilo Omer Anihu Eid Sheni Pasol. He comes and he says, "Befanei Nechtam on aid number one. As for aid number two, I'm the guy." Right? So what's the problem here? My time. O kula b'kiyu maget, o kula b'takonis chachamim. You can't mix and match kiyum and Befanei Nechtam. And then Tosas asks the question, one second, and I hope we'll get a chance at some point to get back to this. Tosas on the top, Tes Bamud Beis, Dim Tomar, Umi Kimidi Dilo Amr Befanei Nechtam Kasher, Bishum De Amr Anihu Eid Sheni Pasol. Again, Anihu Eid Sheni Pasol works in Kosher Mishpat, right? Where being a Shliach and saying Befanei Nechtam doesn't work. So you're more flexible in Gittin, but you're not going to accept what is acceptable in Choshev Mishpat. It's a form of Mikimidi. It's a form of the same problem, right? And then Tosfos goes on to say, V'nir l'ri, k'mosh omer b'Yerushalmi, d'chiyam r'anihu eicheni, na'asekin ogea beiduso. It's almost like he is invested in this process. Because in a way, by saying b'fanei nechtav, he is reinforcing his own his own nemanus as a signator on this contract, even though he has no negius mamon. Really, it's a tricky kind of a thing. That's how Tosis explains. It's a very difficult gemara, very fascinating gemara. What's going on with this gemara, which keeps trying to say o kula b'takar in various forms, o kula b'takar, o kula b'takar is hakamim, o kula b'kiyam of sharos. What's going on? So what I want to say is as follows. There are really two, and this is what I was saying towards the end of last time, I'm just elaborating more and we'll follow through with it more. And that is, I think there are two ways to explain the Gzeira B'Fanei Nechtam in a broad sense. One way is to say, what Ramban says all over the place, and that is that B'Fanei Nechtam, and this is I think a simple pshat, and probably the view of most Rishonim, certainly to do with most achronim or all achronim practically, and that is that paninachta paninachtam is a method of kiyum sharos. This is the regular kiyum sharos rabbanan, and we relax the standards even more bishuma guna and kilu rabbanan in the case of gitin, right? And we allow the shliach to operate, right? Even though normally we would require shnai medim, but his words b'faninachtam or shalotachlot b'kiyum sharos d'alma. Right? They are short-circuiting of some of the rules, but they accomplish the goal, not just the goal, they are a method of kiyum sharos. That's what it is. Which makes okula b'kiyum aget, okula takaras chachamim very hard to understand, because as the Ramban himself puts it, the Ramban admits this, he says, wow, Rav Chisda, I can barely even understand the Havamina. Because Faranachta Faranachtam is itself a form of Kiyum Shtaros. What do you mean, O Kula B'Kiyum Aget, O Kula B'Takanis Chacham? The Takanis Chacham is a form of Kiyum Aget. So if you want to use the more standard, more rigorous standards, why should that ever be a psul? Ramban says this is really hard to understand Rav Chisda. But let's take that view. That's the view of the Ramban. In the beginning of the second parak in Chidushin, in Mokamos, Adathe in Mochamos, in Ksuvos in Mochamos, all over the place, and most Rishonim, this is a form of Kiyum Rabbanan. If that's the case, is there a pagam in the Shlichus? If it doesn't work, no. The problem is in the Shtar, because it isn't properly Mekuyam. It's like just like any Shtar, which on a real estate deal where you weren't able to verify the signatures, you wouldn't say the Shlichus is Pagum, you'd say the Shtar is Pagum, or we can't operate with the shtar until we know for sure that it is authentic in every way. Moreover, the experience of the Faranachta worth anything? No. The articulation of the Faranachta isn't worth anything except to differentiate it from Kim Sharas Rabbana. Shalotachlov is about protecting Choshen Mishpat even as you are easing requirements, right, for good reason, Mishumaguna, Hakilu, in Evanoezer. But there's no substance whatsoever. The Rashi is very difficult. As for all these little plugs, you'd have to interpret that, you know, unless you close the loopholes, unless you objectify Molechatu Navy, Solotakuk Medina Sayam, and so on, we're just worried that people won't follow to the letter the Gzeira. So it's all to protective of the Xero. That's one approach. That's a simple reading of everything. There could be another approach, and that is the Faranachta, but Faranachtam is not Kiyum Shtaros Rabbanan. It establishes that you don't need Kiyum Shtaros Rabbanan for the same reason, or you based on the same model, let's say. The Gemara says, we'll read it soon again on Hayim and Aleph, but the Gemara says it later on, that a Baal who gives a get to an Isha, there's no Faranachta, Faranachtam, even if it's Medina Sayyam. Why? The Gemara says, because he gave it to her, so what, he's going to turn around and be Ma'arer? What does the Gemara mean by that? So one way to read the Gemara, a simple way to read the Gemara, is it's a pragmatic point. It's an umdana. He's going to give her a get, and then he's going to say, the get was a forgery that I gave you. Or he's going to give her the get and say, it wasn't Lishma. He just gave it to her. Or, is that the point, or is the point really something else? And that is, after all, it's not just the Baal gives the get to the Isha. Let's say the Shliach gives the get. I'm sorry, let's leave it at that for a moment. Let's say the Baal gives the get to the Shliach of Kabbalah. According to most Rishonim, that also doesn't require the Tshuva, the Ramban, but Rashi, on the Besamid Aleph and the Ran, on the Besamid Aleph and the Dapi Arif, both take the position that there's no Faninachim in that case either. Why? It could very well be that whenever we're able to invoke more strongly the Edim Shevishtar, Reish Lakish, we don't worry at all, even on a Drabana level, about the problem of Mezuyev, or possibly the problem of Lishma. The problem is that when you hand off the get or the shtar to a Shliach, and you, the Bailam, yourselves, are not bringing this get or shtar forward, the problem is, who's going to interpret the Reish Lakish? Who's going to interpret in the name of the Eden that HaKol B'Hech Shonasa, that everything is good and fine? if that's the case, so what we need to do in order to solve the problem, in order not to accomplish with a lower standard Kiyum Shtaros, in order to render the requirement of Kiyum Shtaros void, in order not to require it, what we need to do is build up the Shliach and make him into a quasi-pilot. If we could do that, then Midrabanan, we wouldn't need Kiyum Shtaros Rabanan. And if that's the case, then we can understand some of these details in a radically different way. Why Shalotaklo Kamedina Sayam, and why Molechatu maybe? Because we're not just talking about plugging a hole, responding to a challenge. What we're talking about is a different way of delivering a get al yidei shliach. There are two ways. In Eretz Yisrael, where there are no problems, right, or the problems are solvable at least, so then any shliach can serve the function of handling over the get. In Medina Sayam, where there's a problem either Lishma or Mitzvi Lekaimo, you need a shliach who is a quasi-bailin, who is involved in the process of this get, right, more so than a standard shliach. And he then obviates the requirement of Kiyum Shtaros Rabban. If that's the case, Shalotachot Medina Sayam, Molechatamei, because it isn't to solve the problem, it's which kind of model are we talking about of Shliach of Nesina Saget. But let's go a step further. The two points in Rashi. What did Rashi emphasize? The experience of the Fanei Nechtav separate from, and he emphasized actually B'Fanei Nechtav, separate from the articulation of B'Fanei Nechtav as a Lechatchila. What's the benefit of experiencing it if you don't need to articulate it? And why emphasize B'Fanei Nechtav? Moreover, Rashi says, what would have been B'Di'eved? A psul in the Shlichos HaGed. But according to what we're saying, it now makes, I think, some sense. The problem is, if he doesn't say B'Fanei Nechtav, B'Fanei Nechtav, or he can't say it, he is just a routine shliach. We need him to be a quasi-bailim. So if he doesn't say it, or he can't say it, it's a pgam in the shlichos. Moreover, it's not just the fact that he says it, it's the fact that he could say it, that he experienced it. And frankly now, we have a new way of looking at the phrase, shalotachlov b'kiyum shtaros, Beidachod. It's not just that we're worried that if you allow this in Eben Ezer, you're going to come to do it in Kosher Mishpat. But what we really mean to say is, we want to show that these processes are not the same. You think that B'Fanei Nechtav is a watered down requirement, right, of Kiyum Shtaros Rabbanan? No, that's not what it is. It's a process, it's an alternative way of solving the problem without requiring Kiyum Shtaros Derabanan. So Shalotachlov, the Kiyum Shtaros Dalma, which really does require higher standards, we demand B'Fanei Nechtav. Now, if this is the case, and this may be too ambitious, B'Fanei Nechtav isn't completely artificial anymore. In the other reading, what we're saying, B'Fanei Nechtav is there just in order so that people won't confuse, or to confuse people so they won't confuse, you know, in their confusion, Kiyum Shtaros and B'Fanei Nechtav. But according to what I'm saying now, they pick B'Fanei Nechtav to highlight what is unique about B'Fanei Nechtav as opposed to Kiyum Shtaros, which is the reason that it has different standards. And what do they pick? B'Fanei Nechtav. Because the shliach's involvement in the earlier stages of the preparation of the get qualifies him to be an authority such that we don't have to worry about Kiyum Chosamos. B'Fanei Nechtav is not just not to confuse on the confusion, Shalotachlov B'Kiyum Shtaros, it's to substantively highlight what is different about these two processes which will justify the Nafkamina. If what I'm saying is correct. I haven't seen that. Some of these extensions I certainly haven't seen. I don't know if it's more important, but it's as important, in a way, or almost as important, let's say it that way. We can certainly understand why it's mocking. And if that's the case, so now let's go back and think a little bit more, at least in this, you know, from this perspective, about the Rava question. Rishonim raised the question, right? They said, Gemara said earlier that according to Rava, the only need is reason you need b'fanei nechtav is for lishma. But the Shalotachov, Bikim Shtaros, the Alma, Rava doesn't believe in that. Right? But once the Gemara said that Rava agrees with Rava, is that still true? Maybe now we should reassess. So, if the point is, I think you could look at this from two points of view. So what do we have? We have different sheets. The Moshe Rav Yosef said, no, you're right. Whenever there's no Lishma, according to Rabbah, if all you're addressing is Kim Shtaros, Kim Chosamos, all you need is B'fanei Nechtav. You don't need B'fanei Nechtav. And the Ramban said the opposite. What we said in the Gemara before is before we knew Rabbah agrees with Rabbah. Once Rabbah agrees with Rabbah, even for Kim Shtaros purposes alone, Rabbah will sign on to the principle of Shalotach of the Kim Shtaros. And the Baal Amar, and Tosa said the middle position, which is, he never would have invented B'fanei Nechtav only because of Shalotach Lov. Once he invented it because of the Shema, it's a low plug even when the Shema is not there. All I'm saying is, in light of what we're talking about here, this becomes a really fascinating issue. Because Shalotach Lov B'kiyum Shtaros has possibly become an expression of B'fanei Nechtav not being only a watered down Kim Shtaros, Drabanan, but being a totally different concept and idea. So is it so easy just to drop the B'fanei Nechtav, even according to Rabbah? Maybe we can appreciate the Ramban, although of all people, the Ramban certainly didn't interpret this way. The Ramban is the one who felt that it really was a watered-down version of B'fanei Nechtav. But ironically, if you accept the Ramban's version of Rabbah, but not his general understanding of B'fanei Nechtav, you might explain, because once Rabbah is addressing not the need for Kiyum Shtaros, but an alternative where it becomes unnecessary, then B'fanei Nechtav is a crucial component. Moreover, another line of the Ramban, which he rejects, but, you know, which if we freeze, you know, frame it, I guess, we could zero in on it as follows. Rabbah agrees with Rabbah, right, about the requirement of B'fanei Nechtav even for purposes of Mitzvah L'Kayim. Right? Conceptually, Rabbah and Rabbah are identical, though, in that regard, from a Kiyum Chosamos point of view. Ramban has a line where he says something to the effect of, meaning, where he seems to raise the question, the difference between Rabbah and Rabbah is only that Rabbah has two concerns and Rabbah has one. Rabbah's worried about the Shema, Rabbah's worried about Mitzvah L'Kayim. Rabbah's only worried about Mitzvah L'Kayim. But their concern for Mitzvah L'Kayim is identical, just that Rabbah has an additional concern. Or, the fact that Rabbah has two concerns reformulates his perspective on both of those concerns. In other words, instead of saying Rabbah is worried about A and Rabbah is worried about B, Rabbah's worried about B. Their worry about B overlaps and is identical. Just that in addition to that, Rabbah's also worried about A. That's one way to look at it. That's a simple one. Or, Rabbah is worried about one problem. And therefore, for Rabbah, the problem is very specific and the solution is very targeted. Rabbah isn't worried just about one problem. And therefore, the two things that he is worried about aren't individual, separate problems either. The problem for Rabbah is the get is vulnerable. It's open to challenge. Whether the challenge is Mitzvah L'Kayim or the challenge is Lishma, those aren't separate problems. The idea of Rabbah transcends either of those problems. What we're worried about is that there'll be a challenge because there are weaknesses or vulnerabilities in the structure of this get. And therefore, what is the solution? In one holistic move to close those vulnerabilities. Not to target problem, there are two problems, not one problem, therefore you need a dual solution, not a single solution. If that's the case, then, ironically, what I'm suggesting for Funai Nechtam actually may work better for Rabbah than for Rabbah. Even when they overlap, it's different. For Rabbah, the problem is Kiyum Chosamos. In Kol HaTorah Kula, you need two Edim for that, and Mishum Aguna Kilo Rabbana, we may kill here. But according to Rabbah, right, it's not problem one and problem two. The problem is the get is vulnerable, and the solution is to strengthen it. How do you strengthen it? By creating a quasi-bilim status for the Shliach LaHalacha. Therefore, even when you're solving the same overlapping problem, namely the problem of Mitzuyin L'Kaimo, it's a different problem and it's a different solution. So that Rabbah and Rabbah qualitatively are very different. So ironically, what may emerge is, if you took the Rambi's view, or Moshe Rabbi Yosef, who says, you know what, for Rabbah, there's only B'fanei Nechtam, there's no B'fanei Nechtam. And if you took what I'm suggesting right now, Rabbah has two problems, and that affects the way he looks at each of them, as opposed to Rabbah. In both cases, you end up with a qualitative difference between Rabbah and Rabbah. Just that in the first way, you end up with Rabbah being the one who says, this isn't Kiyum Shtaros, this is bigger than that, it's the status of the Shliach. And Rabbah denying that. Whereas in the second perspective, it's Rabbah who's taking that view, and Rabbah's denying it. But either way, it will explain going forward a problem that the Rishonim continue to have, which is, when it comes to Mitzuyin L'Kaimo, there should never be any difference between Rabbah and Rabbah, once the Gemara said that Rabbah's Moda L'Rabbah, but there still seem to be some lingering differences. I would answer that problem by saying, there's this qualitative difference between Rabbah and Rabbah, even if they're both worried about Mitzuyin L'Kaimo, one is worried to close the hole specifically of Kiyum Shtaros, and the other is worried because he's worried about the status of the Shliach, the vulnerability of the get. Now, in light of my suggestion, we could also explain what the Shakla V'Tarya of Tezvav Amin Aleph is talking about. What the Gemara keeps saying in Rav Chisda's iteration, in Rav Ashi's iteration, in Rava's iteration. Oh, kula b'kiyum haget, oh, kula b'takonis hachon. And as we said, the Ramban has a very tough time. Why? Because for the Ramban, the oh kula b'takonis chachamim is just a easing of requirements to accomplish kiyum haget. But according to what I'm suggesting now, which is that b'fanei nechtam isn't kiyum shtaros drabanan b'kula, it is a different method which makes that unnecessary. So then you can understand the Gemara very clearly. Right? They could still ask me kamidi. But the fact is, is another way of saying this is apples and oranges. You're verifying one signature, and you are establishing that there's no need for the verification of the other. You can't do that. You've either got to do verification, or you've got to build up the shliach so that he doesn't require verification. But you can't verify one and not require verification of the other. That's inconsistent. That's apples and oranges. That's the idea I'm suggesting. And this idea, just to highlight at least the formulation, and then we'll go back to some specifics, can be, I think, partially seen in an interesting line that the Meiri quotes in the name of Chach Mehahar. What's the issue? The Mishnah Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Mishnah Daf Tes Amud Aleph is quoted here. It's quoted here. I'm sorry, Mishnah Daf Tes Amud Aleph is quoted here on Daud on base on the bottom. So let's look at that. This is where we left off anyway. So let's look at this for a moment. Tzna, Hamevi get me Medina Sayam. Everybody have that? It's just four lines from the bottom of the page on Daud on the base. Tzna, Hamevi get me Medina Sayam. Ve'ena yachalomer b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Let's say a person brings a get Medina Sayam. He's supposed to say b'fanei nechtam, but he can't. Right? We'll explain what that means in a minute. He can't do it. He's not capable of doing it. If he wants to go the Kiyum Shtaros route, he can do it. The Gemara asks the question, what do you mean, Mayv Eina Yachol Omar? What do you mean he can't say B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta? Ilema Cheresh, right, physically, you know, he's not capable. Cheresh Barasuya Gitahu. If he's a Cheresh, his problem isn't just that he can't articulate B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta, his problem is that he can't be a Shliach. So he's not a Bardas. Vatran, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol Psherim Lavi Yisaget, Chutz Mecheresh Shota V'Katan. So what's the case? Cases when he was appointed a shliach and during his shlichus he was in fine and healthy mind. Pikeach, he was struck as a cheresh after he handed over the get, right? Before he said funny enough, the funny. It's a theoretical case. It's not likely to happen very often. What would happen if it happens? It obviously highlights still a law. I'm not just, you know, worried about the case, but it, the question is, what would you do? Achin is charish. L'rava, the Gemara says in the era, L'rava, kasha. Ahoy to Rava, that the problem is one of mitzui l'kaimo. So now we understand why. If you can't say funny enough, time, you can replace it with kiyum. Start the sky in Bechosah. According to Rabbah, there's also a problem of Lishma, Kosher. So the Gemara says, Hachet, Mayaskina, and Lachar Shalomdu. We're talking about a situation where people became expert in Lishma. So the problem of Lishma was no longer an issue, and therefore, since Rabbah agrees with Rabbah that all you have to worry about in this case is Mitzui and Lekaimo, therefore, Yiskai in Bechosah works. That's the Gemara. Now, question is as follows. What's going on in this Mishnah? Mishnah says that if you can't pronounce B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechtam, then you can do Kiyum Chosamos. Right? So what's the Chiddush? We would think that what? Kiyum Chosamos wouldn't work? We're saying it's according to Rava, or it's according to Rabba, Lacha Shalomdu. So there's no problem with Lishma. Right? So is it obvious that Kiyum Shtaros can substitute for the Fanei Nechta? Kiyum Shtaros is a higher standard than Fanei Nechta. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? According to my suggestion, right, which is that Fanei Nechtam is about building up the status or stature of the Shliach L'Halacha, so he isn't just a Shliach, but he's kind of a quasi-Bailim, and therefore you don't need Kiyum Shtaros, there actually is still a Chiddush in this Mishnah. Chiddush is, you might have said that L'Kula and L'Chumra, we demand either, you know, we demand a real Fanei Nechtam. Kamash Malan, even though we prefer Fanei Nechtam, maybe, the Dieved you can get away with Kiyum Chosamos. According to other Rishonim, it's very hard to understand what the Havamina was. Some Rishonim address this issue, and they come up with two very interesting possibilities. Yeah, from the... So that's how the Rabbi learns the next line. The Gemara says, oh, if you want to read, I'll read one more line. Gemara talk about Shilach Shalomdu, right? Gemara says, Ihachi, Yachal Nami, if they already learned, if everybody knows Lishma, why is it only in a situation where they can't pronounce a Fanei Nechta, Fanei Nechtam? Let's say they could. You should still be able to substitute Kiyum Drabam, right? So the Gemara says, Gzeira Shema Yachsar Davar Lekukula. We're worried that, you know, in the future, there might be generations that, again, lose the expertise in Lishma. So therefore, they prefer Fanei Nechta, Fanei Nechtam Fiyachal. So then the Gemara says, Iachi, Eina Yachal Nami. If that's the case, then Eina Yachal Nami. And then the Gemara answers, Since this is a very unusual case, and it's lacha shalamnu, it's not a problem. Now, what did the Gemara mean when it said, Ihachi eno yachal nami? Right? The Gemara just said, it eno yachal. You know, so b'di'evit, all you can do is kiyum chasamos, and there's not a lishma problem. So what do you mean, Ihachi eno yachal nami? Right? Or yachal yachal nami? So Tosis quotes a shita, which is the shita of the Rambi, which is that the Gemara's question was, Ihacha yachol nami, why do you need b'fanei nechtam? Why not just say b'fanei nechtam? Exactly your question. That's how the Rambi, in the Balamor, reads the Gemara. Tosis has a line like that too, but Tosis rejects it. If you look here at, in this long Tosis, Dumas Ihachi, Tosis says, here, the Ein Lafarish, in the end, towards the end of the Tosis, 3, 6, 10 lines from the bottom of Tosis. Everybody have that? The word Rashi is the first word on the line. The Ein Lafarish Yachal Nami Lo Yitzterech L'Rabba B'Fonei Nechtav, which is exactly how the Rambi reads the Gemara. What the Gemara means is, Yachi, if you've eliminated the Lishma problem, Yachal Nami, meaning, you always would require b'fanei nechtav, sure. So why do you need b'fanei nechtav? Right? That's Rambi. Kivin delamdu, after all, kivin delamdu, there's no lishma. Bishlom alarava dechayish lechlufei nicha. Aval rabba diadan alamahani. In kein lo'asi lechlufei matzarech b'fanei nechtav. So it says, don't give that pshat. Why? Velikaman, bereish perak sheni, mashma, dekimen de itken b'fanei nechtav, l'rabba, mishum l'shma, moda rabba de tzorech lom rafi l'wacha shalom mimshum ha'chufei. That's exactly what Tosa said earlier. It's Tosa's l'shitaso, but that's exactly how, what he says not to read the Gemara, exactly how Moshe Bar Yosef have read the Gemara. But your question is Rambi's reading of the next line of the Gemara. What do you need b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav? You don't need b'fanei nechtav. The answer is, we're worried, Sheyachzor davar lekukulo, and then you'll leave it needed for lishma. Okay, now my time is almost up. Let me just say, since we have the sheets here, let's bring the sheets back next week. But just very quickly, the Ramban and Rashba were also bothered by this question. What's the Havam here? Obviously, if you can't say b'fanei nechtav, no one's going to tell you that you're not going to get away with an even higher standard of kiyum shtara. According to me, I say I think we can understand it. But well, so the Ramban says the following. You see the Chiddush Ramban, Gittin Hayom and Aleph. The Rav Nicha Pirish, Nochik Tani. Imen Yachal Omer Panenachta Tzarku Lushnei Edim Shikamu. Bilo Dayo Beedechad Lekaimo. Ramban says, what was the Havamina? Maybe the Shliach. Dafka Shliach is never to say Panenachta Panenachta. Not in a regular Edecha. You might think that's only L'chadchila. That's only if it's possible. But b'di'eved, you can get away with a regular Ein Echad saying it. The Koshkein Yochol v'lo Amarchein. U'masnisen Rabubus Rabusa Kamashma D'isu l'achta kanta afil l'ikuva kein nirali. The Havamina of the Ramban that maybe the Shliach can't do it and Ein Echad could do it is consistent with the Ramban's view that what is b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtam? Nothing to do with empowering the shliach to make him a quasi bailim. The shliach is an erechad. So you might think, okay, you know, the discrepancy between the standards of kiyum shtaros generally and this particular lenient kiyum shtaros allows us to take a shliach, right, even though we normally require two witnesses. But even an erechad, that's such a leap. If the shliach is nothing more than the source of nebanos for kiyum shtaros rabbanon, and he's an edachod, nachanami, kamash malan, no, we're ma'akev, we're machmir, you can't do anything more than shliach. That's one possibility. The second possibility, b'yesh lefaresh, the rabba, the yachal, tiknu rabbanon shalot tinosei at yomer panenakta panenaktam, kedei lahakel alea shalot tizakek le'edim. Aval ena yachal hemidu al din kiyum shtaros de alma v'tinase din yesh orim yiskayim b'chasama. An even bigger chiddush. One might have thought that the Paranakta Paranaktam is a lechatchila, which is ma'akev. We know it's possible if you don't do it. That's in the second parak. It's ma'akev if you can do it. But if you can't do it, even if you can't do kiyum chosamos, what's the end of the world? There's always Reish Lakish. If we're trying to protect her, if she gets married, we're worried that there'll be a challenge. So, to the best of our ability, we protect her. Namely, where there's the capacity for panenachdam, we say it's ma'akev. But if you don't have it, so we'll fall back to the Doraisa position. We hope he doesn't challenge. If he does challenge, we hope we can defend. But we're not going to say that she's stuck in a bad marriage and she can't continue on with her life when Doraisa, she is Mugureshes. That far, we're not going to say. That's the second day of the Ramban. That is the view of the Rajba, which this will conclude. Rajba says, the piece on top, it's fascinating. When he describes the Paranakta Paranaktam, he describes it as Lechatchila Be'edachot, even though he knows it's not any Edachot. That's the Gemara says it clearly on Gimel, basically only a Shliach. But he sees the Shliach as a specialized Edachot. Right? So he says, is it only specialized b'day eidachad b'diavad? Shiyarv panenachdam sagi u'mekminim k'sasa dina daraisa ki hechad alati agim b'teisev hashanah mekimin adik b'keach mishadah v'chiyoyve nam yishliach liyara isha ishait b'keachu el d'choli onsei b'kai gavna ki hechad alati agim nakil v'nukumal agamri adaraisa v'loli boi kiyum kamash v'lam d'le olam ligruwe mitre l'chad akiluba. Even now he's talking about the shliach as if he's an eidachad, not a shliach, per se. It's a kind of an eidachad, but less than that, a bigger kula than that, we won't go. What's fascinating is, he tells us Rid, on Tesom and Aleph, interprets that, in fact, if it would be Eino Yachol, if it was a situation of Eino Yachol Agamri, it really would not be Ma'akev. He has a different gears than the Mishnah on Tassel and Aleph. And he says, if there's an error, then he's kind of chosamot. But without error, what the Rajba describes in the second day of the Ramban, the Tosis Rid thinks to be the words of the Mishnah.